The Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park's 2013-2014 season is about to take flight, quite literally, later this week with a show called Fly, inspired by World War II's heroic Tuskegee Airmen. The story of America's first African-American military pilots comes to life in some very theatrical ways, and here to tell us more is Ricardo Kahn. With Trey Ellis, he wrote the show, and he's in Cincinnati to stage it for the Cincinnati Playhouse. Ricardo has an illustrious history in the theater world. He co-founded Crossroads Theater Company in New Jersey, an African-American theater that rose to national and, in fact, international fame. It also earned a regional theater Tony Award in 1999, a recognition that it kind of shares because the Cincinnati Playhouse got one in 2004. He led Crossroads for two decades. Now he directs shows and teaches at universities across America. We're lucky to have you in town, Ricardo.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, and I'm loving it in Cincinnati.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Could you start us off with a little bit of background? I understand that you discovered this piece of 20th century history from a framed photograph that you saw on a friend's wall. What exactly was it that you saw, and how did that inspire you?
Oh, my God. Yes. I was in a meeting that had nothing to do with the Tuskegee Airmen at all. It had to do with fundraising, and my eye went to that picture, and they were posed, these amazing African-American men in front of a P-51 Mustang, a plane, and they were posed with such incredible dignity, pride, confidence, and I wanted to know who these people were, and I was kind of upset when I found out that I didn't know who they were, and they were the Tuskegee Airmen of World War II, heroes to the African-American community in the United States at a time when racism was so prevalent, but heroes eventually to everybody, to all of America, and actually, for that matter, to the world, because we were fighting at that time fascism, which they considered to be more important a fight than racism. So that's why they put their lives on the line for a country that was really turning their backs on them and didn't think this program to teach them flying and then get them up in the air was going to succeed. America didn't want this program to succeed, but in the face of all of that, they did.
I had heard a little bit about them, but I was surprised as I prepared for the interview tonight that there were almost 1,000 of them who trained to be pilots.
This is correct.
And I guess somehow I thought it was a smaller cadre of people who were drawn. Can you tell us a little bit more about who they were and what they actually did? I don't mean the individuals, but sort of as a category of people, what they were involved in.
Absolutely. Well, in 1941, this was a time when the country and the Allied forces were losing a lot of bombers in Europe, because the bombers were very slow and they needed escorts. They needed more pilots, but we didn't have enough pilots. So they opened up the Army Air Corps to civilians to train. And during this time, there was also a push for integration in America. And the armed forces was segregated up to this point and remained segregated even though they started this program. So in 1941, there was a very small class that was trained. And in that class was a gentleman, Benjamin O. Davis, who eventually became the commanding officer of the Tuskegee Airmen and did very, very well. But that class proved that they could start a program, and then another class came, then another, even though they didn't know what to do with them at the time, because there weren't integrated bases in North Africa or Italy. So they kept training them, and eventually they were able to form a squadron and a group and send them to war. But the incredible thing about them was that they were from colleges around the country, most of them traditionally black colleges, and they had to be at the top of their class in order to be even allowed to enroll in this program. So in this play, we have one guy from Chicago, another from New York, another from Iowa. They were from all over. We have one from the Caribbean, and they are all gathering in Tuskegee, Alabama in the early 40s in the seat of racism. And these are these cocky guys, intelligent, all stars coming together to try to make a squadron. So before they have to learn how to overcome racism, they also have to learn how to overcome their own egos and learn how to become a team.
Well, part of your story, I think, is that they really were more than daring pilots. You've made the point just earlier when we started talking that they were also visionaries and had something they really wanted to prove. And this was at least two decades before the civil rights movement really took off. And yet they sort of saw themselves as involved in social change. They sure did.
And in fact, and we say it in the play, to them, it wasn't a matter of whether things would change in America. It was a matter of when things would change. And they really believed that adversity could be overcome by achievement, by excellence in everything that they did.
Well, your on-stage telling of this is more than just sort of a reenactment. In fact, it has a number of interesting dimensions, as I understand it, that you are using some video projections that pull out a lot of stops that really make this feel like you're flying in a plane.
Sure.
But you use another element that I think some people might think of as surprising, and that's a tap dancer.
A tap dancer.
Can you tell us that you have a dancer, his name is Omar Edwards. He doesn't exactly play a role. I mean, he's not one of the characters, is he?
He is a character. In that he tells the story. He tells the part of the story that cannot be told through words.
Okay.
And first of all, when I was working, Trey and I were developing this play. It was during the time of hip-hop. That strong influence influenced both music and dance. So it's not the type of Sammy Davis type of tap dancer. It's from the roots of that, but it primarily is a very strong heel tap dancing like a Savion Glover. But this is Omar Edwards, an incredible international performer. And I needed Omar. He does not fit in with these guys in 1941 because Omar is tall and has dreads, you know, long, long hair. And it's important for me to establish him as a timeless griot, a person who tells when the guys cannot show, express their anger because they are black and they are representing their race. Well, that's when the griot does through tap. He taps down that anger into the ground, into the earth. When the guys, because they're in the army, cannot express sorrow or for loss or whatever, the griot does. Or when they, beautiful things, like when they fly. Yes, they fly, but they're in the army and they have to stay rigid. So the tap griot tells the story of their exhilaration. That's the sort of thing I wanted to use so that we're not just telling a history lesson, but that we're really portraying the human story.
Well, it's a very imaginative way, it seems to me, to add dimension to your story. I understand that this work was developed initially as a student show at Lincoln Center in New York City. Was the tap element part of that even then?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. It was a professional production done for young people and for educators.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asked to do something that could tell this story, but I wanted to do it knowing that young people are going to watch it. I don't want young people to think, oh, God, we got to go and watch a history. We got to sit in a theater and watch this. That is why the projections are there and just the whole feeling. So if you love video games, if you love the way the eye moves now in television or in action movies, it's very different than the realism of 20, 30 years ago. This is not a realistic play, but this is very much a visceral experience that people get. So when you walk out of the theater, you're changed. You're different than who you were coming in simply because of the magic of theater and the power of this particular story.
Why do you think this story is important to us in 2013?
Because we need to know that in us there are heroes also. We look out there and we see a black president, person in the White House, and we never thought that would ever happen, at least not in our lifetime. It's very important for us to, if we're going to appreciate what America did to make that happen, we have to look back in our history to see the roots and where did all of this start. It starts with people like the Tuskegee Airmen who fought for that. And in fact, the first scene of the play takes place at the inauguration of President Obama because the Tuskegee Airmen were the special guests that day. This is not about politics, this play, and the beginning and the end of it is not about who you want to be president. It's about the ability to dream that anybody can become president and that in yourself you can find the hero too.
Well, if you would like to be inspired and see some heroes on stage, your chance is coming this week. The Cincinnati Playhouse's production of Fly has been in previews this weekend. It officially opens on Thursday evening and continues on the Marx Theater stage through October 5th. You can find more information about the Playhouse and the show by following a link at WVXU.org. My guest this evening has been Ricardo Kahn, whose Fly is his own creation, and he's here to direct it for audiences in Cincinnati. I hope it has a great landing here.
Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.